Good morning. I had a rough week. I got in a fight with my bougainvillea bush yesterday. I have the battle scars to prove it, but I won. It took a sawzall and a hedge trimmer and pruning shears, but I made that puppy suffer. Anyway, I have some, you want to hear a joke? Okay. These are just a little silly, what key has legs and can't open a door? A turkey. Okay. Why did they let the turkey join the band? He had his own drumsticks. Ba-dum-bum. Yeah, okay, this is my favorite. What do you call a running turkey? Fast food. That was funnier than you know. You'll get it later. You'll be driving. You'll just start laughing. Just wait. Hey, we have some announcements. We have given notice to the Lutheran Church. We're moving. So excited! Which means we will have a Christmas program this year. So if you have little children that are afraid to perform, make them come anyway. our practices start Saturday, November 23rd. Pastor Sarah's in charge of that. We're also looking for singers and dancers, you know. So, yeah, soloists, stuff like that. So, start pressuring your children to do it. Okay. The program will be December 22nd during morning service, and then we will have Christmas Eve candlelight service on the 24th for the first time in 3 years. I'm so happy. Excited. It's not that I'm trying to skip Thanksgiving, but yay! I did tell a turkey joke, right? I get some credit. Okay. I took all of my self-control not to wear my Christmas sweater this morning. I'm just saying. Okay? I only have one. You will see it multiple times between now and Christmas. Oh. I was in the Pacific Northwest 2 weeks ago. I spoke at The Calling in Vancouver, Washington. It was amazing. I got to preach for a whole hour. It was like, yeah, I know, right? It was good. That's going to be online at my blog here soon after the Columbia trip. So if you want to know about that. When I went to Israel this year, we got to see a lot of ruins. And one of the places that we went to is Capernaum, which is the village of comfort. And it was in Capernaum that Jesus did most of his miracles. Did you know that? Elaine did. Okay. So Jesus did most of his miracles in Capernaum. And what is really interesting is that they've actually dug down to the ruins of the first century. So you can see what houses, you know, you don't see the roofs, obviously, but you see how houses were set up and all of that. And you would see a house would be like this big main room, and then a whole bunch of small rooms off of it, like right, boom, 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 boom. And so it revealed in history, let me put this down for a second. It revealed in history the world that Jesus lived in. And it's very interesting. How many of you guys know this scripture? In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And I go there to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you except that I'm coming back for you. And what you need to understand about that, let's put that in context. You always hear this to me, like I always hear it at a funeral. Like, oh, Jesus went to heaven to prepare a place for us. But actually, he's referring to a very cultural situation. And that is when a young man would propose to a young woman in the first century, he would propose to her, then he would go back to his father's house and he would build a room onto that house. And that room would represent their house. Like, they didn't get their own house. They got to live in a room off the father's house. It was very generational, multi-generational kind of living. my mom lived with us for 30 years. We understand multi-generational. So, and now me and my grandkids are living together. They love it. Anyway, so in that context, you can see how a bridegroom would say, I love you. I'm going to my father's house that will have many rooms, and I'm coming back for you. And when he finished the room, he would go back, and that's when the wedding would happen. And so as he kind of started getting done, he would send word, I'm coming. And they wouldn't like, oh, he'd come back and hang out for a month, and then they'd send out invitations. No, when he came back into town, the wedding would happen right away because he'd been waiting a while, you know. Anyway, so they would have people posted. They'd be like, okay, we've heard the bridegroom's almost done. They would post people to watch for the bridegroom to enter the city so that they could have the party. Right? And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you're my bride. I love you. In my father's house, there are many rooms, and I have a room for you and me. You are my bride. I'm coming back. The downside of that was you and your bride might love that room, but when you start having kids, it can get a little cramped. And it wasn't as if that was just your bedroom and then you went and hung out with dad and mom in the big room. That's not how that happened. That was your house. And so the way that families operated is during the day, they would eat, they would socialize, they'd play Pictionary in that one room. They didn't play Pictionary, probably. I just made that up. Okay. So, but that was their house. But when it got dark, they would put away the daytime stuff and they would unroll their mats. And they would all sleep in the same room. They didn't have the hang-ups that Western America has about parents sleeping together. So you would have mom and dad, and then kid, 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 kid. So I want you to understand the context of that. And I'm reading out of Luke 11. Jesus said to them, this is right after he shared the Lord's Prayer and how to pray to your Father in heaven. He says, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside says, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I want to explain this, just what this is saying to us, because sometimes we think, oh, it's just because you keep knocking and he gives up. No, it's, do you know how shamelessly brave it is to go to your friend's window? You can't even go to the front door because that's dad's house. You go to the window and you knock and you say, I have company that's just come from out of town. Why would you do that? Because in that culture, it was very shaming not to feed your guests. Like all of your reputation was on the line. So you have folks show up. You have nothing to feed them. You think, what can I do? There's no such thing as 7-Eleven or Walmart, right? What can I do? I have a friend. And this is a huge imposition on him, but I'm going to go to him because he's my friend, because anyone else would turn me away. And you knock on the window and you say, I have guests. Give me some food. 3 loaves of bread. That's a lot, by the way. It's not 1 loaf of bread. 3 loaves of bread is a lot. And I want to remind you something. Guess what? There were no refrigerators. There was no preservatives in the bread. Like, you made bread, you ate it because it would get bad. Anybody have moldy bread? Ever see? You know, it's good because penicillin comes from that, but it kind of sucks when you want a PBJ, right? So you go to your friend, you knock and you say, I have people, they just showed up. They surprised me. Give me 3 loaves of bread. And here's the man and his wife and his child 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 taking up all the room on the floor. And you're asking him, completely disrupt your family. Take out your breakfast that you plan on eating tomorrow and give it to me. Can you see why Luke said it was shameless audacity? That how many of you would not do that? I would totally do it. Okay, I show up at your house at midnight, answer the door because I'm not going to quit knocking. But can you understand? Jesus shares this story about the boldness of someone in need. And then he says this. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Seek, and you will find. He uses this example of a bold, not begging. It's not about begging. It's not about being, oh, poor me. It's about, oh my gosh. The friend, and he said, get up. I know this crazy that I'm asking you this. Get up and give it to me. I have a need. Meet it. And Jesus says, ask. In this way, ask. How many of you have thought that God, you know, I mean, all right, someone you love is sick. Okay, you'll pray for healing and hope he shows up. All right, your brakes go out. All right, well, I'll ask for that. And Jesus is saying, no, wait a minute. Don't come like a pauper. Come with boldness. Come believing that he will not turn you away. Come and ask for what is unthinkable to ask for. When I spoke in the Northwest, it was all about, you know, the whole purpose of Isaiah 61, all of those things, the healing, the setting free the captives, all the great promises before and after this one verse are for this one purpose. That you would be an oak of splendor, glorifying God. How many of us come to God and think, well, I'll just ask for what's left over. I don't want to seem greedy to God. This is not greed. People, we were meant to be blessed. We were meant to be blessed. We were meant to be prospered. We somehow, somewhere in church history, we began to equate poverty with holiness. And I got to tell you something. There is nothing that glorifies God in poverty. Nobody looks at the homeless and says, isn't God good? No one looks at the underprivileged and says, man, God's glorified in that person. I'm not talking about being ostentatious. I'm not talking about living for yourself. I'm talking about receiving the blessings, expecting, asking for the blessings of God, that we would take hold of them, that when people see us, they would say, that person has been blessed by a good God. Come with bold audacity. I've been praying. I'm getting ready to go to Columbia, in case you didn't know. I've been praying things like, you know, Lord, let people be healed. I wouldn't mind raising the dead. I don't want anyone to die. I'm not saying that. But wouldn't that bring glory to God? You know why we give testimony? Not because we want to brag, but because we want to say, God blessed me. He is blessing me. I got 2 checks in the mail last week. 2, dude. Come on. I mean, seriously. I was like, the first one, I opened my Costco bill, you know, the membership fee. And I was like, oh, crud, I paid a membership fee. And I opened it up, and I had a check attached to it. I was like, come on. Then I opened the next one, which was an old credit card of Burt's that it took me forever to cancel, and I don't feel good about them. I know I should be blessing them. I probably said, Lord, I bless these people as I open this envelope, expecting some kind of weird bill. They sent us a check. It was so good. Exactly. And I had just been complaining to God the week before. I never get a check in the mail. And he showed up, right? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I want you to start praying for God to prosper you in every area of your life. I do. This is not just so you'll be rich. I do want you to be rich. I want me to be rich. I'd like everyone to be rich. But here's, because it's a testimony. If you live your life right, it's a testimony. If you live your life wrong, you won't stay rich very long. But when you start talking about God showing you. So I've been praying these prayers for Columbia. Lord, I wouldn't mind raising the dead. But I've also been praying, Lord, I wouldn't mind winning the lottery. I mean, there are things I do like pay off the house, right? But there are other things that I would do. I know so many great ministries that just need money. I know so many families that I would want to bless. Now, I would love to be that anonymous person giving away money at Christmas. With a little note, God loves you. God sees you. So bold audacity. Not so I could get plastic surgery. I mean, if I had some money left over, I wouldn't be against it, but hear my heart. Ask for the Lord to prosper you, but not just your bank account. Ask him to prosper your emotions. Ask him that you would be made whole, be made rich in joy. Ask him to prosper your heart. That even when you get envelopes from credit cards, that you really would say, I bless them, and mean it. Ask for God to prosper your mind, that you would receive divine strategies to have solutions to the problems that we face every day. Ask him to prosper your spirit, that you would move deeper and deeper and deeper into intimacy, because Jesus says, don't be afraid to knock on my door. I would get the whole family up and give you our breakfast. Just have the audacity to knock. James writes something. I'm going to give you a word of caution. James writes something that I think that we need to pay attention to. He says, you have not because you ask not. And when you ask with the wrong motive. I seriously want to win the lottery. But not so I could buy a house in Maui. Although if I have any money left over, I might. But because I want to have the privilege of being generous. How many of us have said, man, if I had any money, I'd give it to that. If I had any money, I'd support that missionary. If I had any money, I just wish I had a little more money. Ask with the right motive. Eileen and I went to a Leaders Advance. I don't know when it was because we've been to so many, but I met with one of our revival group there, Callie Marie, and we were having lunch. She just dropped her car off at the shop. Were you there? Yeah, okay. And we're having lunch, and she's saying, you know, I can't get a rental. I thought I could, but you have to have a credit card, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I asked them if they'd take my dad's credit card, but he's from Alabama, and they won't take it without a driver's license. And I'm basically grounded now for the day, and I don't know how much longer they're going to have my car. And I thought, man, I should just go charge that for her. And God said, no, don't try to be God. I'm like, all right, well, what do we do, Lord? And that scripture came to mind, you have not because you ask not. And I said, well, Kelly, did you ask them if they have a loaner? And she said, well, yeah, they don't have anything. And I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't try to be God and meet her need out of my own resources. And we drove back, and I said, I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's pray that when you get there, they have a loaner for you. And she said, okay. And so we prayed, and she got out, and she went inside, and we went back to the conference, and I got a text message from her. They had a loaner waiting for me. And God reminded me, you have not because you ask. I don't know what need you have that you haven't included God in. I want to encourage you. Ask, knock, seek.